All right, let's welcome everybody who arrived at Holden Village today. My name is Tom. I'm one of the directors along with Paul and Carol. On tonight's housing list, we forgot to put in your hometown. So when I introduce you, please be kind enough to just shout out where you're from for everybody. And stand up so people can see who you are. Trudy, where are you? Trudy Dick. You here? Oh, don't see her. The Folk family, Andrew, Brittany, Debbie, and John. Hey, where are you guys from?
Austin, Minnesota.
Austin, Minnesota. Welcome to you. I've always wanted a Spam t-shirt. Isn't that from Austin? That's what I thought. I actually stopped there on my way to Holden Village to get one because I thought they were so cool. And they were closed. Why am I sharing this with you? Jeff and Thomas Lule, I think you're from University Place, right? Okay. Benjamin, we'll clap at the end. Benjamin Matter, where are you? And Ben, where are you from?
Seattle,
thank you. Joining our staff, Kieran McManaman. Rochester, Minnesota. And now, joining our beloved Robert Munson, we have, here we go, Adam, Alice, Annika. Anne-Marie, Eva, Forrest, and Katie. And are you guys all from Seattle? Robert?
Santa Cruz,
okay. Thank you. And Lynn and Mark Morrow. And Matthias Olshausen. Portland. And Nadine Sanders. Shahalis. All right, I think that's everyone. Welcome to Holden Village. And is anyone leaving tomorrow? Would you be kind enough to stand? Because now we want an opportunity to pray and bless you on your way. Okay. Let's pray. Gracious God, let the design of your great love shine upon our friends. Enrich their imaginations with the joy of following you and grant them peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're grateful this evening for Paul Olson, who will be bringing Vespers this evening.
Just drop the mic, so we're going to go without that, okay? The reading is a promise, and the promise is, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And a commentary on the promise by Frederick Buechner. All moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. She can tell, and so can he. The honeybee is sad and cross and wicked as a weasel, and when she perches on you, boss, she leaves a little measle. And the turtle lives twixt plated decks, which practically conceal its sex. I think it's clever of a turtle in such a fix to be so fertile. The primal termite knocked on wood, tasted it, and found it good. And that is why your cousin May fell through her powdered floor today. My hope here was that you would laugh. You did. And my next hope is that you'll consider that laughter just a small moment of joy. If you will, in Buechner's words, a key moment. Nothing momentous, but in my understanding for tonight's Vespers, key moment. Even sacred. All moments are key moments, and life itself is grace, says Buechner. It is life abundantly. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, says Jesus. When I'm in my work back in Rock Island, Illinois, I'm a college teacher and a track coach. Every year after commencement, all our graduating senior trackmen and their parents, girlfriends, siblings, grandparents, and always some underclassmen who love their departing teammates gather for a final ceremony. Our campus is near the Mississippi River, and the commencement is in a venue on the river's bank. We gather on the bike path by the river for pictures and hugs and laughter and tears. Before we depart, I ask all of them to close their eyes and think of their beloved athlete competing. I recite a poem about a runner, but it could be about a thrower, of course, it's track, a jumper, or more, it could be about a trombone player, a pianist, an actor, a soprano soloist. And what's more, it's a poem about the people who love that athlete, that performer. It's about how love makes us experience, even viscerally, what that loved one is experiencing at the time of the race, of the recital, of the solo. For those track men, it's our last moment together to celebrate life. But this is a shirt they've worn for 4 years. It smells just about as bad as this one. And on the back, it says, "A celebration of life." We've been doing it together for 4 years. Here is that final poem. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes as I ask them to close theirs. And think of watching that someone, maybe a runner, maybe that soloist, but that someone that you care about, that someone special, in whatever it is they love to do. Do you remember how you won that last race? How you flung your body at the start? How your spikes ripped the cinders in the stretch? How you catapulted through the tape? Do you remember? Don't you think I lurched with you out of those starting holes? Don't you think my sinews tightened at those first few strides? And when you flew into the stretch, was not all my thrill of 1,000 races in your blood? At your final drive through the finish line, did not my shout tell of the triumphant ecstasy of victory? Live as I've taught you to run. It's a short dash. Dig your starting holes firm and deep. Lurch out of them into the straightaway with all the power that is in you. Run straight, run high, run hard, save nothing. And finish with an ecstatic burst that carries you hurtling through the tape to victory. It's an old poem. Athletes don't dig their starting holes anymore. They have plastic tracks or rubber tracks and blocks that sit on top. But they still run straight and they run high and they run hard. The race itself and its intensity create what Buechner calls a key moment. All moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. But that moment is shared in love, as demonstrated for me as a track coach who loves his athletes, with the line, "My sinews tightened with the first few strides." From one person's key moment, many key moments are created because we share that moment. We have life abundantly, enhanced by love. I'd like to go a step further. There's a simple little poem at the beginning of every Robert Frost anthology, and it goes like this. I'm going out to clean the pasture spring. I'll only stop to rake the leaves away and wait to watch the water clear, I may. I shan't be gone long. You come too. I'm going out to fetch the little calf that's standing by the mother. It's so young it totters when she licks it with her tongue. I shan't be gone long. You come too. This moment is absolutely impractical. Cows and calves have been just fine for thousands and thousands of years, and so have springs. The springs don't need to be raked clean. The calf will be just fine with its mother. But this invitation to come to comes from a speaker for whom this moment is so meaningful that he has to share it. It's a key moment, a sacred moment, and life itself is grace, and life is abundant. I was lifting weights at Holden's local YMCA. It's right up there in the corner. In the corner of the balcony, just above us, and when Tom Alstrom came in below to play the piano. He didn't see or hear me. The reason he didn't is that the weights I lift are very light. When I set them down, there's no clanging. They land, in fact, kind of soft like a pillow. They're about the same weight as a pillow. But he played, and every tune, every hymn made my work even lighter, and soon I found myself stop lifting and just listening. And then quite suddenly, I found myself softly singing along to a tune that's no longer in the red hymnal, but I think from the old black hymnal a few hymnal generations ago, and I remembered the words. Perverse and foolish, oft I've strayed, and yet in love he sought me, I sang softly so Tom wouldn't hear. My 101-year-old dad died this January. And Tom's music carried me back physically through the lyrics and the music to a Sunday long ago when Dad and I sang a duet of that hymn in our congregation up in northern Minnesota. I was a senior in high school. The whole choir sang a verse. Dad sang a verse. Then I did. Then together we sang a verse, and the choir finished the number. Dad the bass, I the melody. We all sat down, and Dad turned slightly and nodded at me without a smile, but with a wink, and I knew that we had done well. But I had totally forgotten that moment until Tom played that hymn. I don't think at 17 I realized our duet was a sacred moment. But that day last week, I knew it was. In fact, there were two sacred moments simultaneously. Both the moment in my memory and the moment of the present. I was, in absolute truth, both at Holden in the balcony of the VC at 2:34 p.m. on a Wednesday in June 2010 and in the Minnesota church balcony some Sunday decades ago, in the third row, right behind our best soprano, Liz Otterness, looking straight at Ken Klein, our choir director. We choir members all wore brand new maroon robes, even though we were in the balcony and no one could see us without turning around. And folks my age can't even imagine a Lutheran turning around. But I mention that only to suggest how specific and how palpable even that moment was for me. I smelled the newness of those robes, and I smelled the sawdust from the snack bar remodeling below. This is having life abundantly, living two distinctly separate moments in time at once, intensely. Many of you have read Elie Wiesel's Night, that haunting autobiography about the Holocaust. While just a boy, Wiesel watches his mother and sister march to the furnaces, and witnesses his father's agonizing death. And Wiesel is eventually liberated, and he becomes a reporter for a Tel Aviv daily. And now an agnostic, his assignment is to interview the French novelist François Mauriac, a faithful Christian believer. Mauriac remembered the interview. "And I," recalls Mauriac, "who believe that God is love, what answer was there to give my young interviewer? What did I say to him? Did I speak to him of that other Jew, this crucified brother who perhaps resembled him and whose cross conquered the world? Did I explain to him that what had been a stumbling block for his faith had become a cornerstone for mine? And that the connection between the cross and human suffering remains, in my view, the key to the unfathomable mystery in which the faith of his childhood was lost. We do not know the worth of one single drop of blood, one single tear. All is grace." Mauriac says, "That is what I should have said to the Jewish child. But all I could do was embrace him and weep. There are no words, no theology, just a physical hug. In a moment, just a moment, and this is not an explained moment. This is a key moment. And life itself is grace. So all of you workers, you too, your work this week. Unlike cleaning the pasture spring and fetching the calf, your work is both practical and meaningful. So this week, we know already after one day, life abundantly. In the now, we are mowing, sowing, sawing, raking, painting, cooking, digging, measuring, changing diapers, teaching, composting, organizing, scraping, jackhammering, piling wood, and much more, and it all shapes key moments. Moments created by the present, by our memory, and by our love. And life itself is grace. And our work together is a manifestation of one of God's promises. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
The hymn is number 840. piece, circle.